First things first, I just want to say, do I have your guys' permission to bring a little bit of conviction this morning? Do I? A little bit of conviction? Do I have your guys' permission to also allow the Holy Spirit to bring me that sense of hope as well? Okay, I'm going to ask your permission because some people are like, man, you don't know what I'm going through. You're right, I don't. I don't know what you're going through, but God does. Okay, so I got to ask this up front, because the last thing I want to do is offend you from here. You know, we have these things that we carry around with us pretty religiously. Does anybody know what those things are? Well, cell phones, that's right. And so when we're scrolling, sometimes we give our cell phone to our kid, and you know, people are trying to call you, and the kid's playing the game, and what's the first thing they do? Denied. Ignore. Right? Deny, ignore. You're not important right now. I got to pass this level. Right? And then all of a sudden, you're getting chewed out by your mom. You're getting chewed out by your sister. You're getting chewed out by your pastor. Hey, I've been trying to get a hold of you. Right? Some of us, right? We're the kid on the cell phone playing our game, denying everybody, right? Saying, I got to beat this next level. Right? Our cell phones have become our way of life now. Right? But we like to do this thing, it's called screen our phone calls. Right? We screen our phone calls. Back in the day when you had the landline, if you didn't have caller ID, you would answer every phone. Right? Every phone call. If it was a bill collector, well, you're stuck. You got to talk to them. Right? Once caller ID evolved, you were able to be like, hey, tell the kids. Hey, if you answer the phone, I'm not here, right? Sometimes the kid will say, would answer the phone, it would be a bill collector, and what happens? Hey, tell him I'm not here. Mom, are you here? I'm not here. Well, you got to talk to that bill collector, right? But see, our first notion right now is that we get a lot of spam calls. We're getting a lot of spam calls, unknown callers. We're getting a lot of calls from telemarketers. So we screen them, right? We hit that little ignore button. Our first notion is what? Ignore the call. The second is that we tend to block that number, right? When you block that number, they still call back, right? They find another number. And then once you get that point of frustration, you try to put yourself on that do not call list. But what happens is what? You put yourself on that list and people call you anyways. As a matter of fact, those spam calls come a lot more frequent. It's like, man, I thought I put myself on that list. Some of us even screen phone calls from people we know. Oh, what does this person want now? All right? Or even better, the unexpected. Now, this goes even further. We take it from the phone call. We hear that knock on the door. And in the ring camera, you're looking at that ring camera, right? You're like, who's there? Oh, I don't want to talk to that person. Right? Or even those pesky Saturday morning ones, right? Do you want to hear from our Lord and Savior? Right? But today we're going to talk about the story of Jonah. We're going to dig deep into when God calls. Right? We're going to dig deep as to when God is calling us, when we're getting prompted by the Lord and Savior Jesus himself, right? The Creator himself, to go somewhere, all right? And we choose to do what? We choose to run. We choose to try to hide, right? Or even try to ignore God, right? We're going to dig deep. This is why I asked if I could bring conviction, because we've all been guilty of those three things. We've tried to run from God at some point. We've all tried to hide from God at some point. And we all have even chosen to ignore what God is asking us to do. So if you'd like to turn your Bibles to me to Jonah chapter 1. And guys, I'm getting old, so I got to wear these, these nice little specs. Right? They're Oakley. All right? No, I'm just kidding. We don't care about that. All right. Jonah chapter 1, it says, Jonah flees from the Lord. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because of its wickedness, because its wickedness have come before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and healed and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. When the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ships threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw cargo into the sea to lighten the load, to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting tougher, rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. And I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder. Therefore, even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the man greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. So, we're going to stop there. It says, the first point is of today's sermon is, we tend to run from the Lord because we feel unready, unqualified, unwilling, right? To perform the task that God is asking for us. Say, we tend to run from the Lord because we feel unready, unqualified, unwilling to perform the task that God is asking. See, we tend to let our current circumstance determine what we are going to be willing to do, what we're not going to do, how we're ready, when we're ready, right? And our merits tend to depend on our merits, our qualifications. Where do we go to school? What are our skill sets, right? Our past will usually make us feel, right, that conviction, like, "I'm not worthy, I'm not able to," right? Our education level will tend to say, "Hey, I don't have the degree that I need. I don't have the skill set that I need. I didn't go to school. I don't have this big degree that these jobs are looking for." The current circumstance we're living in is I need to deal with this going on before I can even go deal with what God is asking me to do. And then the busyness of everyday life. Man, I'm so busy, I just can't. I can't give up, you know, watching my Netflix film on TV because, you know what, that's my time for me. I can't stop playing this sport because that's my time for me. Right, we put ourselves above what God is asking us. See, when God is calling you, He's not calling you because you're ready. He's calling you because He's ready for you. God's calling because He has a purpose and a task for you to do at that level, whether your current circumstance, whether the busyness of everyday life, whether you've been to school and got that bachelor's degree. Congratulations to all you who have those degrees. I'm not trying to down that. Or whether your past says otherwise. Second point of today is when we try to go our way instead of God's way, we start to get a storm of convictions and chaos. In verses 4 through 5, we see this. It says, "Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid at each other, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he fell into a deep sleep." For one, if there's a big storm out there, I am not going to be able to fall asleep. I'm going to be honest, especially if I'm on a boat. But we see that in this, what I'm saying is that our guilt, our fear, our life circumstance, our sense of being under attack will start to happen in conviction because we're choosing to go our own way, not God's way. We're choosing to do things the way we want to and we see fit, but when all we're saying is God is calling us to do it His way. And a lot of times what I've seen over my life is this, is that when I choose to not do what God is asking me to do, or if I choose to go a different route, then things tend to not go as smoothly. I start to get in arguments with the wife. I start to, feel ugly feelings inside. And not only that, right, a second point that I want to bring is that when we disobey God, those around us suffer as well. You may say, "I'm the one disobeying, I'm the one that's going to hurt," but in all reality is this, your family also suffers. Your friends suffer. People who care about you tend to look at it and say, "What's going on?" Because they're concerned, because now it's a stress on their life, and it becomes something that, because they always want to see you succeed. And we see that in Jonah verse 5, it says, all the sailors were afraid, right? All the sailors were afraid. It wasn't just happening to Jonah. The storm wasn't just happening to Jonah. I grew up in a broken home. And a broken home was when, my mom and my dad got divorced. And that was when I learned that relationships were. Their divorce, their decisions affected our family, right? That I never knew how to be in a complete relationship of a mother and a father in the home. And as I'm trying to do that as I grow up, guess what? It's hard for me to adapt because it's either my way or no way. Right? And it's hard. Okay. The guilt that we carry because we're making poor decisions is what God is trying to prevent and get rid of, as long as we're willing to follow blueprint, follow the instruction, follow the path He has chosen for us. He's trying to bring, right, a sense of peace and a sense of direction in a world of chaos in our lives. So now here comes the hope. God has created each of us for a purpose, and the hope's not there yet. Hold on, I jumped ahead. God has created each of us for a purpose. He will not stop chasing us until it is fulfilled. That's number three. God has created each of us for a purpose, meaning a purpose that is going to help build His kingdom in heaven. A purpose that is going to be used so that He could bring others to Him, back to Him. We live in a broken world, and when God is calling us to do, it doesn't matter of what our past is, what our circumstances, where we're at in life, and how busy we are. God is calling us, and He will not stop calling us until that purpose is fulfilled. When we see that, right? We see that in verses 11 through 17, because what was happening, right? The storm was just getting crazier and crazier. It wasn't calming down, right? And the only thing that had to happen was what? They had to throw Jonah overboard. And then everything calmed down for that. And you guys have been saying, why? Because God is going to catch us wherever we need, and He's going to put us in a position to where only He can save us from. He's going to put us into that position where only we can listen, that we're willing to listen. See, for me, it was that moment where I had to choose: either I am going to live a life for Christ, or I'm going to end up in prison. Let's just be real. And when I finally chose to do it, God said, "Fine, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to put you in a little vacation spot, right, for 4 months. And I'm going to use you in a big way in this 4 months, because that's where you're going to be most obedient to me for. And that's where I'm going to be able to use you to do great things and train you up in the ways of the Lord." And I'm going to tell you this right now. That's what happened with Jonah. Because we know what happens once he gets thrown into the sea, correct? He gets swallowed by a whale. He gets put into some bondage, right? He gets put into a point of no return. And we know that, all right? You know that it says, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days." See, God's going to have to set us down for a little bit so that we can listen, so we could hear what He is trying to tell us, right? So now here comes the fun part, the hope. God will forgive our disobedience if we repent in earnest. And we're not saying that the when we get in trouble, right, we like to say the simple, "I'm sorry." God is saying this: when you get on your knees and you repent in earnest, I will forgive you. So what does that require? Well, let's read what happened. We'll go to Jonah chapter 2, right? For days and nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and He answered me. From the deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and You listened to my cry. You hurled into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All Your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from Your sight, yet I will look again towards Your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sink down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But You, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered You, Lord, and my prayer rose to You and Your holy temple, or to Your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to You what I have vowed. I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish to vomit Jonah into dry land. You see, Jonah had to be in a position to where you just had to stop, be still, kneel down, praise the Lord, surrender all his pride, everything that was in him that was causing him to say, "Hey, it's my way or the highway, my way, not God's way. It's going to be what I want to do, how I'm feeling in the moment. There, me. Pastor Michael's famous saying is what? Love me some me, and I'm always on my mind. But it takes dying to that, right? It takes a genuine apology, right? And it takes the ability. Sometimes when we're apologizing and someone's trying to forgiveness, we're not really willing to receive that forgiveness either. We're trying to punish ourselves when God is trying to say, "I forgive you." And we need to stop. When God says He forgives us, it's not to the point to where we forget what we did, but yet we remember what His grace and His mercy, and we move forward. We don't keep ourselves in bondage behind. See, last night, I'm going to go back to last night at this party. I found something out that really put me in a bad spot, and I shared this with Adriana mentally, right? And I really had to think about it, because it was with the previous relationship. and what was said and how it made me look and who's being affected. But I'm going to tell you something, and in that moment, that brief moment of doubt, I can tell you right now, the strong words I heard were from my wife herself. It says, God's redeemed you, and you're not that person. So it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. If God has forgiven you, then He's forgiven you, so you need to be able to forgive yourself in those moments. See, the devil will always try to sneak his way in and say, hey, no, remember, you're a convicted felon. No, remember, you're an adulterer. No, remember, you're this, you're that. You did this, you said this word. You acted this way. You let your anger get the best of you at work. See, the devil will always try to put that doubt in your head, and he'll try to keep you in the belly of the fish and keep you in bondage. But when you receive forgiveness and you truly, after you've truly surrendered it all, then you can say this: I've received my forgiveness. I am redeemed, and now I'm no longer the same person that I was once before. God has redeemed me through the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? Those are what you could stand on. And then you can say, hey, you know what? God has already used me in a different way, shape, or form that has brought others to Christ. And I see it with Lily sitting right here, because she was in my youth group when God called me and I said yes. You see, we've all heard this before in this moment. Says God does not call the qualified, He qualifies the called. And that's our point for number 5. Right? God does not call the qualified, because what happens when you're qualified and you have all the merits and you have all the skills and you've gone all of that, guess what? You start to rely on your merits, your skills, your degrees, and everything you've accomplished in life. You stop relying on what God is able to do because you think you've already been able to accomplish it all on your own. Well, guess what? If you are a true Christian, and if you ask for forgiveness, you move forward, then you realize you didn't get those accomplishments on your own. You got them through the grace and the mercy and the guidance of Jesus Christ. So God has been able to qualify you. You see, I never went to seminary. Right? I never thought in my wildest dreams that God was going to put me in front of a pulpit. But guess what? I am here trusting the good, the Holy Spirit, and God's gift that He gave us through the Holy Spirit to be able to preach this message to you today, because I was able to die to myself and realize that, what is our famous saying, Michael? It is not about me. It's about doing what God has called me to do, even if I don't know how, because He will show me how. He will put those in front of me that are going to guide me through and give me that constructive criticism, that constructive mentorship, that constructive accountability. It's allowed me to realize that my testimony, although I had to live it, was not for me. My testimony was for that person that is going through that same divorce that he had to go through, that he's going through right now, to realize that, you know what? It gets better. God could still use you in your brokenness. That it doesn't matter what you let your anger get the best of, if you're able to swallow your pride and get the help you need to control your anger and get it in check, that God is going to be able to use you for that person who's fighting that same anger issue. When you rely on the Holy Spirit and not your own ability, then you're going beyond what your own mind thinks you are able to do. Meaning you no longer have earthly limits, you have godly, I said it earlier, you have a God-given ability. Because God is going to get you to that point where He needs you to be to better and build His kingdom. But we got to take ourselves out of it and realize that we are here to do God's will, not our will. So the conviction of this is saying this: we need to start answering God's call. No matter what our circumstances, no matter where we are in life, no matter how busy we are, God is worth us answering that call. Because when we answer the call, I'm going to tell you this right now, you start to see the blessings and the fruits of the Spirit alive. We are all being called to be part of God's kingdom. It is not our decision which part that we're going to do in God's kingdom. We cannot dictate where God is moving us. God is going to move us in ways that are probably don't make sense. Right? God is going to move us in directions that we never thought possible. That we feel are impossible, but through God and our trust in Him and our faith in Him, all things are possible. You see, and a lot of it, our fears get in the way, but what we don't realize is this. For all who reject you and God for doing something in Jesus' name, they are not rejecting you, but rejecting your Father in heaven. And we got to understand that God doesn't ask us to have all the answers, that we need to get Him to His kingdom where all the answers are. And that's in His Word. So the decision we have control is, are we going to answer or continue running? Are we going to answer or continue trying to hide? Or are we going to continue to be that rude person to God? Continue to ignore Him. That's the decision. So I don't know where we are at all today. But God may be calling us to a time of surrender and acceptance. This means God's calling you to repent from yourself. Repent for what you're doing. Repent from your sin. God's calling you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. God may be calling you a time of waiting. Be still. Be ready. Right? God will call upon you at the right time. Meaning, a lot of us are all, man, I've been sitting by my phone. God's not calling. Right? I've been waiting in the mail. God hasn't sent that check I need. Right? But maybe God's not sending you a check. Maybe He's sending you a place where you can actually get those financial things to be able to live beyond what that check, the amount of that check, so that you could build finances and abilities so you could do greater things than what you thought were imaginable. But God is needing you in a moment of stillness. God may be calling you to ministry. And let me tell you something. When God calls you to a point of ministry, you may not know how. Believe me, you may not know how. But God is asking you to jump all in faithfully and trust that God will guide you through. See, when I started in ministry, I thought I was going to take over men's ministry at LVC. But I jumped full feet first into starting the youth ministry. We had 5 good years. And in the middle of that, we even had to deal with COVID. But we stayed faithful. We did some Zoom meetings. My brother Henry knows. And it was hard. It was difficult. Some couldn't do it. But you know what? We persevered because I'm going to tell you something. And Lily's my witness. Genevieve's my witness. Right? We made it through. They're still serving the Lord. They're growing in the Lord. They're still doing what they need to do for the Lord. Right? I'm going to close with this. Stop screening your phone calls when it comes to the Lord. Stop screening those heart tugs when it comes to the Lord's calling. Stop screening those things that just don't make sense, but you just have that constant ticking on your mind. I need to go. I need to do this. I need to do that. Let's stop. I'm going to close with this. When God calls, answer, because you don't know the blessing that's going to come from it. Let's stand. We all know Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." We all heard Joshua 1:9 when he said, "Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." When you answer God's calls, those two scriptures come to life. Because that means you are jumping all into faith and all jumping all into God's guidance. Father God, I pray right now, Heavenly Father God, for each person here. I pray for their ability, Heavenly Father God, to hear from you. That God, that they could take courage in answering that call from you, that to wherever it is, Lord. Lord, I pray for that one person, Heavenly Father God, that's being called to surrender right now, Heavenly Father God. He's surrendering his finances to that person that's going to surrender themselves fully to you, Heavenly Father God. That has been standing one foot in and one foot out because they're feeling like you're not answering their call. But we know from the deeps of the earth, like just as you answered Jonah's prayer, you will answer theirs. God, I pray for that person that needs to surrender their family to you. And their family, their cycle, those bondage cycles, Heavenly Father God. That they could break the cycle today, Heavenly Father God. I pray that they could repent and accept you as their Lord and Savior, Heavenly Father God. I pray over them right now. That you continue to tug on their strings. And right now, in a minute, we're going to give that invitation. God, I also pray for that person you're calling to a time of waiting. Because in waiting, Heavenly Father God, sometimes comes uncertainty. But God, I pray that they remember Joshua 1:9 and they remember your commandment to be strong and courageous and to not be afraid of what's to come. That you will be with them wherever they go. And if they're in that time of waiting, that they could be still. They could start to fine-tune their own skills, their encouragement, their prayer life, their reading life, God, that they can just build a relationship with you. I pray for them, Heavenly Father God. For that moment comes when you do call on them, that their foundation is laid so firm and that they can stand strong, Heavenly Father God, so that they could do whatever you ask. I also pray for that person you're calling to ministry, Heavenly Father God. Whatever it might be, Heavenly, that they could trust you enough to jump with both feet into that ministry. And they could do it as a way that's going to glorify you in heaven. As your word says, for us to let our light shine so that others may see and glorify you. That they will handle that ministry in ways that are going to bring others to you in powerful ways. If you are here today and you were in the first prayer and God has called you to a moment of surrender, a moment of an acceptance, and you need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, follow me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I come before you as a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness right now. I ask for your forgiveness that I could turn around and no longer sin no more. That I know you went to the cross to die for me and rose again 3 days later so that I could be free. Help me to follow you each and every day for the rest of my life. If you prayed that prayer in earnest, raise your hand so that we can celebrate with you. For the rest of you that have also been feeling that tug of surrender, but you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, but you need to come back to the Lord because you've fallen so far away, pray this prayer with me. Father God, I come before you asking for forgiveness, for trying to do things without you, for trying to do things my way, not your way, for ignoring your call, even though you've been telling me to come to church every single time. God, forgive me, Heavenly Father God, for not putting you first in my life, for being too busy for you in my life. Lord, forgive me. I want to do things your way from this foot forward, Heavenly Father God. If that was you praying that prayer, raise your hand. Now, for the person that God's been calling you to ministry, follow me in this prayer. God, I accept your call. God, I will I would jump in full with both feet. I don't know where you're calling me in ministry, but I know you're calling me to ministry. I will talk to the pastors today and say, I am available and I'm willing to do whatever God has asked for me. I pray, Heavenly Father God, that you use me in powerful ways that could bring others to you, that it's not be to glorify me, but to glorify you in heaven, Heavenly Father God, as it says in Matthew. God, use me in ways that are going to build your kingdom, that only you can do, that I may think is possible, but I know with you all things are possible. God, use me in that way. I want to be your vessel. If that was you, raise your hand. Father God, I just want to say thank you for those that are willing to jump with both feet in. Thank you for those who surrender today. Thank you for those that are in that moment awaiting, Heavenly Father God. Thank you for those. Thank you for using them in a big way and continuing to use Christ Community Church in a big way, Heavenly Father God. I just want to thank you for this Sunday. Thank you for this worship service. Thank you for all that you do and you are going to do through this church, Lord. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father God, over the merger with Sanger Community, Heavenly Father God, that your will be done, that we are here to just be obedient to you, Heavenly Father God, and that we're going to do things your way, not our way. God, this is us answering your call. In Jesus' mighty name we say, amen.